We're up to Siman Tov Reish Ches, Seder Suda Hamafsekes. Okay, four Seifim will. Okay, so the first Sif, it's a very, very juicy perek that requires a lot of time. But Sif Aleph, hello Eliyahu! First, Sif Aleph discusses Tosefes Yom HaKippurim. We have a mitzvah to add on to Shabbos, to add on to Yontif. The source for that is actually from Yom Kippur. The Rambam holds that only by Yom Kippur, and only by fasting is the mitzvah of Tosefes, and it's not relevant to Shabbos and Yontif. Most Rishonim hold it's learned out from Erev Yom Kippur. They have to add on to Yom Kippur, but it also is relevant to every Shabbos and every Yontif, that there's a mitzvah to bring Shabbos in a little bit early and take it out a little bit late. So the Mechaber says, Ochin u'mafsikin kodem ben ha'shmashos. We eat through the mafsekes, and then we stop eating before ben ha'shmashos. By ben ha'shmashos, it's already Safek Yom, Safek Laila. Ben HaShemashos is the time where it's already, we have to consider it as Yom Kippur anyway. And now, so we have to be mafsik, finish eating, before Ben HaShemashos. Shetzarech lohosif michol ala kodesh. We have to take a part of the Erev Yontif, Erev Yom Kippur, that we know is not yet kodesh, and make it kodesh. That's the mitzvah. But Tosafot ze ain lo shir, and there's no shir exactly for how long it has to be. And the kodem ben hashmashos, it just has to be before ben hashmashos. Shizmano, here he gives a zman elef v'chamesh miot ama kodem alayla, which I'll explain in a minute. Tzarech lahosif michol ala kodesh ma'at o harbe. Okay, now this relates to a very famous machlokes between Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim. We know that every calendar has, Shabbos ends at this time. Rabbeinu Tam says it ends at that time. That's because there's a big machlokes, what is called Shkia, and when is Tzeis HaKochavim. So, the regular way of doing it, the way we paskin Lamaisa, like the Vilna Gaon, as soon as the sun goes down, what we call Shkia, Shkiat HaChama, sunset, then it's already Safek Yom, Safek Laila. At that point, it's already Shabbos. It's already Yontif. It's already Yom Kippur. And then, it's a whole question how to fit this into the Metziah. It's about 13 and a half, 3/4 of a meal, the Gemara says, which let's say is 13 and a half minutes later. It already becomes Tzeis HaKochavim, and then it becomes Laila. That is according to the Gaonim and the Vilna Gaon. Right at Shkia, boom. It's already Safek Yontif, Safek Shabbos. You have to keep Shabbos 101%. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there's two Shkias. What we call Shkia, that's only the first Shkia. And then according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's a second Shkia coming 58 and a half minutes later. And so according to Rabbeinu Tam, you have 72 minutes between what we call Shkia and Tzeis HaKochavim. According to Rabbeinu Tam. That means that people, we don't pass like Rabbeinu Tam. There are those that are machre like Rabbeinu Tam. So they'll end Shabbos 72 minutes after Shkia. Our calendar says 35 minutes after Shkia is already, Shabbos is over. Say Shabbos about 35 minutes. In America it's a little longer. 40, 50, it's a discussion. Rabbeinu Tam holds 72, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Pesachim, the whole thing. So based on how you understand that machlokes between the Rabbeinu Tam and the Gaonim, that will determine when is this extra time that you're adding on to Shabbos Yontif, and in this case, Yom Kippur. So according to the way we paskin, from Shkia, sunset, boom, it's already usher to do malacha, usher to eat, and therefore we have to add on to that time, and we add on to that time before Shkia, and turn that into Yom Kippur, or Shabbos, or Yontif. The Rambam holds it's not relevant to Shabbos and Yontif, but most Rishonim, most Achronim holds a mitzvah min haTorah to add on to every Shabbos and every Yontif. So here the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Aleph brings down the source. Tosafot ze ain po kares. It's obviously not kares. It's not really Yom Kippur. Ki mitzvasase. There's a mitzvasase to turn Friday night into Shabbos. I don't know if you're familiar with that. There's an organization, a Kirov organization, called Turn Friday Night into Shabbos. So that's how I like to define and describe Tosafot Shabbos. You're turning Friday evening into Shabbos, even though it's not yet technically halachic Shabbos. The Alfina b'Gemara, we learn that from the Gemara. Midirsi, the pasuk says, "V'nitzim es nafsha seichem b'tisha lechodesh ba'erev." You should afflict your soul on the ninth day of the month, ba'erev, in the evening. Me'erev and erev tish b'du shabbatchem. Ramina, the Gemara says, you might think you fast on the ninth. Talmud loyma ba'erev, in the evening. I ba'erev, so yachol mishatechshach, only at night. Talmud loyma b'tisha ha'ketzad. You have to start me ba'od yom because the hosif michol ala kodesh. The gam b'yitziyasa mosif, when you're ending Shabbos and ending Yom Tov and ending Yom Kippur, we also add on, the pasuk says, may erev ad erev. So the Shara Tzion Levarim Ois Aleph brings down a Taz who asks a great question. We already had this drasha this week. We learned from this drasha, according to many, according to the Psak of the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, and the Rambam. Interesting. The Rambam doesn't... we already learned from this Pasuk that there's a mitzvah min haTorah, according to many, to eat an Erev Yom Kippur. So how can I learn two separate things from the same Pasuk and the same Drasha? Sounds like the two don't get along. So that's what the Shara Tzion points out, that the Taz asked that Kasha. That Taz had such a kasha. If we learn from this very pasuk in the exact same words that there's a mitzvah to eat on the erev of Yom Kippur, so then how could we learn that there's a mitzvah to suffer Yom Kippur from the same pasuk? So the Eliyarabo, the Levush, they answer the Taz's kasha. Okay, we're not going to get so involved. Fine. Okay, now Mishur Yosef Katan Beis, so he's getting into this machlekes that we said over between the Ge'onim and Rabbeinu Tam. Again, according to the Ge'onim, which is how we paskin, once it's sunset, Shkia, Safik Yom, Safik Laila, you have to keep Shabbos, and therefore Tosefes would have to be before that. You count 13 and a half minutes, and then it's already Laila. Now, according to Rabbeinu Tam, after sunset, it's still Vada Yom, it's still daylight. For another 3 1/4 mil, which is 58 and a half minutes, it's still Yom. After Shkia. It means you walk outside, it's dark out, it's 45 minutes after Shkia. Rabbeinu Tam says it's still daytime, and only 58 and a half minutes after Shkia does it become Ben HaShemashos, Safik Yom, Safik Laila, and then 13 and a half minutes after that, which is a full 72 minutes after sunset, do we call it Vaday Laila. Okay, now both the Ge'onim and Rabbeinu Tam, it's very hard to fit into the Metzius. That's a separate discussion because, you know, everyone agrees, the Gemara says, Tzeisa Kochavim, 3 stars is nighttime. So 3 stars don't usually come out. 13 and a half minutes, you're not going to see 3 stars. And you're going to see it way before 72 minutes. So how do you fit these two into the Metzius? Like, it's a huge... Like machlokes with tremendous ramifications, and it's also like just a tremendous a gap between the two opinions. Not like, okay, well, we have 10 minutes, 20 minutes. You know, it's 13 and a half versus 72, or 50 and a half. It's a wild difference.
What was it, 58?
The Gemara's talk about the Ben HaShemash as being 3/4 of a mil. A mil is either 18 minutes, 22 and a half minutes, or 24 minutes. So if you assume an 18-minute mil, so 3/4 is 13 and a half minutes. And the Gemara says, in one place, talks about the world being four mil. I forgot exactly. I didn't look at it today, which I should have. So the Goyim say that Gemara Psachim about the thickness of the world, that's just Agadat Gemara, and we don't learn halacha from it. And it just means that 4 mil, 72 minutes after sunset, is Tseis Kola Kochavim, and has no halachic ramifications. And Rabbeinu Tam says, oh no, it has lots of halachic ramifications. That's considered Tseis HaKochavim. They say, Now the Shulchan Aruch passes like Rabbeinu Tam. Many Rishonim, if not most Rishonim, hold like Rabbeinu Tam, which means according to them, 58 and a half minutes after Shkia, after sunset, it's still daytime. So they say that half hour after Shkia, Friday night, the Hasidim were driving around Brooklyn, Manhattan, wherever they were. And this is how the story goes. And Rav Moshe Feinstein called in, I don't know, maybe it was the Satmar Rav, whoever it was, and said, look, this is not Europe. Maybe in Europe you held like Rabbeinu Tam, like we follow the opinion of the Gra. You can be Machmir like Rabbeinu Tam if you want to, but we follow the Gra. Once Shkia comes, we assume that it is Shabbos. It is already Banish Russia, Suffolk Yom, Suffolk Laila, like the Goinim, like the Vilna Goin Shita, and after Shkia, anything after is considered Chilul Shabbos. And they lay down the law in America, and in Eretz Yisrael also very, very, very strong. I don't know if there's anybody now, I don't know, that's still make you like Rabbeinu Tam. Now, Rav Nemezel told me, I asked him once about being machmir like Rabbeinu Tam, and he told me the Chazon Ish was opposed to being machmir like Rabbeinu Tam. Don't end Shabbos like Rabbeinu Tam, which in America is very popular, and in Israel is far less popular. So I asked him, why was the Chazon Ish opposed to being machmir like Rabbeinu Tam? He said, the Chazon Ish held, if you're going to be machmir like Rabbeinu Tam, then you're going to come to be lenient like Rabbeinu Tam also. You know, those famous stories about the guy who's late from coming home from work, lots of traffic, by the bridge, he sees Shkia is coming, okay, today I'll hold like Rabbeinu Tam, and I'll keep driving after Shkia. Okay, that, the Chazon Ish held, was not acceptable, and therefore he said, better not to be machmir like Rabbeinu Tam, it's a chumrah da'asi de'kula, it's a stringency that leads to a leniency, and he said not to do it. I pushed with them, and in the end he told me, Rav Shlomo Zalman himself was machmir like Rabbeinu Tam. Okay, so, but certainly not Chas V'Shalom to be Mekel like Rabbeinu Tam. Anyway, so wherever time you hold is Benish Moshes, the Tosefes has to come before that, before you're halachically obligated to keep Shabbos Yontif and Yom Kippur. Okay. Okay, what I just said is spelled out in Sif Katan Beis. Let's move on. Okay, Sif Beis. Tav Reish Ches Sif Beis. Noshim she'ochos v'shosos ad she'chashecha. Women who are eating and drinking mamish until chashecha. It doesn't really mean ad chashecha. It means until bein hashmashos. V'hein einan yodos. And the women don't know. She'mitzah lohisif mechol ala kodesh. They don't know that there's a mitzah to add Tosefes Yom Kippur. Don't stop the women. Why not? Because the understanding was they're not going to listen to you anyway. And there's a rule of mutav shu shogigin vayu mezidin. Better to be b'shogig than b'mezid. If they don't know, and they're not going to listen to you anyway, so better for them not to know, and they're violating something unintentionally, then you tell them, and now they're going to violate intentionally. Mishua points out Sif Katan Gimel. Vidav could be Odeh Bavadi Shalom Yikabim Min. That's only if you know for sure they're not going to listen to you. But if there's a Suffolk, maybe they'll listen to you, maybe they won't. Shem Yikablu. Tzarech Limchos Afilu B'midi Derabanan. You have to protest even if it's something that's Aser only Midrabanan. Okay, now this gets into a very, very sensitive topic. Very sensitive topic. That's the topic of giving Musar, Tochacha, telling people that what they're doing is wrong, which is a very, very, very dangerous topic to get into. Generally, the point of Tochacha is to help someone do things right. In our generation, and I don't remember, but I've heard that there's a Gemara that Rabbi Kiva says already in his generation, 2,000 years ago, they didn't know how to give Tochacha properly. I don't remember seeing that Gemara, but certainly Bizman Azeh, a lot of times if you start up with somebody, you're just going to push them further away from Judaism, and it's going to defeat the purpose. The whole purpose of Tochacha, bring someone closer, and in our generation, the way we bring someone closer is by warmth and love and caring, and not by criticism and certainly not screaming, yelling, and throwing things. So this is something that's a very sensitive, delicate topic. But then, but there is a pasuk in the Torah that says "Ochayach tochayach hazamisecha." There is a mitzvah to give tochacha. So I don't know. You need a very, very, a person with a lot of street smarts and a lot of really knows how to deal with people to be able to do this. And I think nowadays most people say that, you know, better not to get involved. And same thing with children. We machanecha children. They do some things they do right, some things they don't do right. They don't usually want to hear what they don't do right. Sometimes we tell them, but, you know, if they keep doing it, like, you know, they know what they're doing is not what you want them to be doing and not what they should be doing. And if you keep pointing it out, it just makes it worse and just pushes them further away from the parent, which makes it less likely for those children ultimately to, you know, come closer to Yiddishkeit. Usually their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through the connection to the parents. The more they have enough of the parents and don't appreciate the parents and don't want to hear from the parents, so then that doesn't help their relationship with Hashem either. So let's see the Ramah, Hagav, Uadim, B'chol, Dover, Isser, any Isser, not just Tosefes Yom Kippur. This is an example. Amrina, we have a rule. Mutav shu shoygigim lo yu mezidin. Better for them to do it shogeg and not mezid. Unintentionally and not intentionally. However, that doesn't apply to everything. V'davka she'enim mefurish b'Torah. Only if it's not explicitly written in the Torah. Afal pishu daraisa. Meaning, if it's daraisa, Tosefes Yom Kippur is daraisa, but it's not explicit in the Torah. So as long as it's not explicit in the Torah, you can apply the rule of better for them to be shogeg than mazid. And that rule is only if you know that they're not going to listen. If they might listen, now sometimes you have people very sincere, they want to listen. They're happy for you to tell them, you know, you have a guy in Eishet Torah, and not at the beginning, but a guy who's happy to learn, and he knows he doesn't know everything, and he's happy for you to point out, by the way, you're supposed to do it this way, you're supposed to do it that way. You just have to, everything has to be said very, very carefully and gently and delicately. Okay, but if something is explicit in the Torah, then this rule of mutav shushogigin and not mezindin, it does not apply. It only applies to something that is not explicit in the Torah. Ve'im yodea, okay, aval im mefurish b'Torah, but if it's explicit in the Torah, mochim b'yadam, then you have to stop them. You have to tell them. I mean, you read the Mishnah Berurah, you know, it talks about them beating you up and putting yourself in danger. It's like, it's very interesting. It's very hard to apply this l'maisa b'zman hazeh. But there is a bir halacha over here, dibar mascha aval in mefurish b'Torah, if it's explicit in the Torah, all the way down. It's like, almost at the end of the page. Like, let's say, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom of the page. It says that the mistarva, the masha pasak haramah, that which the Ramah said, that something that's explicit in the Torah, you have to protest when someone does something wrong. Dav kashu ba'akroi, that's someone who does something wrong once in a while. Aval elo porke ol legamri, but those people who threw away the Judaism entirely, could go machal Shabbos befrahesia, he desecrates Shabbos even in public. Or Orchon the Veil is Lahachis, he eats not kosher just on purpose, just because it's not kosher. On such a level, Kvar Yotza Michal Amitecha, he's not included in the pasuk of Hocheach Tocheach Amisecha, you should rebuke your Amisecha, your friend. He's already not called an Amisecha. And then you have no mitzvah of rebuking him anymore. It's on someone who's interested. Continues the Ramah. Im yodeya she'in dvarav nishmayim, if he knows that what he's going to say won't be heard, no one's going to listen to him. Sorry, no one's going to listen to him. Lo yomar barabim lo chicham, he shouldn't say it in publicly, rak pam achas, only one time. Aval lo yare betochachos, he shouldn't give over too much tochacha. Me'achar she'yodeya she'lo yishmu elav, he knows they're not going to listen, so he shouldn't get up in public and talk about it. But in dealing with an individual, then chayim lochicho, you have to rebuke him. Mishra points out, if it's a private avera, rebuke him privately. If it's a public avera, you can even rebuke him in public. Shelo yischal l'shem shemayim, shouldn't be a chil Hashem. Again, everything here has to be, you know, You have to consult with a big Talmud Chacham and a big Pikeach who understands not only halacha, but understands people, and it has to be done the right way. These are dangerous, dangerous stuff. Until the person either hits him or curses, until he beats you or curses you for telling him what to do. Okay, it's dangerous stuff. Once he reaches that point, the Mishabura has a different level. I don't know what the difference is. Mishabura says, until the person, I don't know what yinzof, I don't know how yinzof is different than yikalel, but until he's disgusted with you. Now, after he's disgusted with you, then you're not allowed to rebuke him anymore. As the Pasuk says, Al tochach leit, do not rebuke the scoffer, pen yisna'eka, lest he come to hate you. So that's very relevant nowadays. You want to bring them close, not push them further away. Siv Gimel. If he stopped eating while it was still daytime, he finishes Sudha Rasekas. He can continue eating after he benches as long as he did not accept upon himself the tainus of Yom Kippur. However, the Mishnah points out in Sifkat and Yabez, we actually did this in Hilchos Tisha B'Av. There are those that say that there's a minig. After you finish eating, you bench, you're not allowed to eat anymore. The possession mavzik, that which you've benched and finished eating your sudam of sekes, have a ki'ilu kiba bepe. It's as if you accept it upon yourself, verbally, that you want to keep, that you're accepting upon yourself Yom Kippur. And therefore, nochon shekodim because a Muslim, before you bench from the sudam of sekes, yomar beferush, he should say explicitly, she'ein umakaba olav adayin atainis. I do not want to accept upon myself the fast. Even if he doesn't verbalize it, at least he should think it, so it's not going to be inherent Kabbalah satainis that he's accepting upon himself Yom Kippur by the fact that he just benched and stopped eating. Now, Mikra din is allowed to continue eating. But there are others that say there's a minig that once you stop eating, you're finished. And therefore, to avoid that problem and that question, so one should accept upon himself verbally that, or mentally, that he is not accepting upon himself Yom Kippur until he says he wants to be accept upon himself Yom Kippur. So the Mechaber says he can continue eating Yochel Lachzer V'lechol Kol Zman Shel Kiba Olav Atainis. Mishabura says Sifkat and Yigimel V'im Kiba Olav, if he accepts upon himself the Tainis, also gaber chitza v'sicha, so he can no longer wash himself, he can no longer anoint himself, u'befrat v'malacha, he can no longer do malacha. Now, in terms of shoes, that's a discussion. Because if he's still wearing shoes, then it sounds like he doesn't want to accept upon himself the shoes. That's what he said by Tisha B'Av. I don't know if he can say the same thing over here. So that's all discussion. If there's this idea of accepting Yom Kippur partially, you know, is it all or nothing? Now, you see from the Rambam that it's not all or nothing, because the Rambam holds that Tosefes Yom Kippur is only by the Inui. It's not relevant to Malacha. It's only relevant to the fasting. Okay, Rambam says, Hagov, Ayin Le'el Simen Tov Kuf Nun Gimel, Hichas Tishabov, Dim Kiba Balev Lohavi Kabbalah. The Rambam holds, if you accept upon yourself the Tisha B'Av or Yom Kippur, belave, that's not a Kabbalah. He has to do it verbally. However, the Mishabura points out Sifkot and Tezvav, Ayin Shabbat Mishabura, Mashik Hasam, V'Shem Abach, V'Hagra, V'Chein Yeser Hadvarim Sham. So there, the Mishabura brings down from the Bach and the Gra that you can accept upon yourself Yom Kippur and even Tisha B'Av belave, even by thinking that you want to accept it without verbalizing it, you can accept it upon yourself even by thinking it. Okay, that is Sif Gimel. Sif Dalid, Be'erev Yom HaKippurim Ein Lo Le'echol Ela Ma'achalim Kalim Lehit Akel. Erev Yom Kippur, he should only eat light things that are easily digested. Kidei Shelo Yeh Saveya, that he shouldn't be full, umisga'e kishi yisbalal. Shouldn't be full and end up, I guess, when a person is full, he's less humble, he's more gaivadik, and his davening is going to be less meaningful and less effective. One should not eat things that warm the body. It should not cause him to be motzi shechel zera. He's to carry. Which are marbim shechel zera also. But by shachris, the minig is to eat these things, even though it sounds like one shouldn't. The minig is to eat it only by sudan of sekas, to stay away from these certain things that are marbezera and can lead to carry. The very end of the Mishabura tells, reminds us of something which is very important. And we shouldn't overeat at the Suda Hamavsekes, because all year round we're not supposed to overeat. And even by a Suda Hamavsekes, even though we won't be eating for 25 hours, and certainly we want to do everything the right way. Okay, that is Siman Tov, Reish Ches.